the Eye of the Lion podcast, where the truth always wins.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's go!
Hit it!
With your host, Kevin Castillo.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Eye of the Lion podcast, the first episode where we aim to transform the ordinary to become extraordinary in the workplace through inspiration, truth, and leadership. Let's go ahead and dig in and start this episode. I am so amped up and fired up to shoot this first podcast. I've kind of been leaving this on the back burner for quite some time, but through multiple conversations, multiple situations happening in this workplace, in this world, I have been more inspired than ever to get this podcast up and going. The first thing I want to dig into is a little bit of my story. I was a DNF student growing up. I was told I was going to be a failure in life just due to the grades I made in school. I barely ended up graduating high school with the help of a special tutor. I graduated with a 2.0, decided I was going to go to college because that's what everyone else was doing. So I figured I'm going to do that as well. I was just following what I was taught growing up, what I was programmed from family, society, school system, and everything else. And I failed miserably with a 1.7 GPA. Where did I end up? After college, I ended up just getting a job, trying to figure out where I was going to go. I wanted to make a lot of money. The first job I got, I kind of bought everything imaginable. I put everything on a credit card, got an apartment, got a car with a car payment, and I ended up just losing it all because I was just uneducated with the money, the finances, and everything in life. But I was 18 years old. I was young, dumb, and stupid. But everything's a learning experience. I've learned a lot to this day and age where I'm at today. And I wanted to share this podcast with you because of my previous experiences. I am not the expert. I may be an expert in some areas, but not every area. My biggest goal is to share my experiences, get somebody on the podcast every now and then that is an expert in the field so that you can take the value and apply it to your life and share it with other people that may use it in their life. But I wanted to go over this word that really stuck out when I listened to this gentleman by the name of Simon Sinek. He considers himself an optimistic. And the definition of an optimistic is hopeful and confident about the future. And that amazed me that I never really considered myself an optimistic. And I've gone through jobs in the past where I see things and I'm like, why do they do it that way? Why do they continue to do it that way? Why do I continue to see people day after day after day go into a life they absolutely hate? They're stressed out. They're having heart attacks. They're having cardiac arrest because they're so stressed out at a job. And I don't mean to say that to the extreme. It's just something I've seen myself in the workplace. And they end up coming back and they just don't know anything better than to just stay there. But my hope is that I can use this podcast as a way to help wake you up and others. So I wanted to go over some things that I've really had on my heart these past couple days. I ended up jotting them down and everything. And I just wanted to go over them during this podcast. I don't plan on having an hour, hour and a half podcast. I just want to make it short, sweet, and simple so we can get to the point. We can go over the story, the struggle, the journey, and what the solution is. I really want you to take a pen and paper out. If you're able to, if you're driving, just absorb whatever you can. But here is my list of what I believe is possible. I believe there is hope for a better work culture. I believe there is hope in a world where people are inspired to go to work. I believe there is hope for people to work as a team because they see the big picture. I believe there is hope with people to see work as a marathon rather than a sprint. I believe there is hope where people aren't scared to fail because they know without failure there is no room for growth. I believe there is hope and a world exists where employers value, take care, and encourage growth. And last, I believe there is hope where bosses and managers shift to leadership because that difference matters. So with that being said, I want to go over a few things, a few examples. What do I mean when I say I believe there is hope for a better work culture? I would say over the years, with the amount of jobs I've had, I see the same thing over and over and over. And the first thing that comes to mind is the word insanity. And what is the definition of insanity? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. And there's never a different result. And I really see that people are on this hamster wheel and they can't get anywhere. And going back to in a world where people are inspired to go to work, what sort of things is your boss, manager, or I would hope that you have some sort of leader in the company that can help mold you into growing, into wanting to be better? How can you be inspired to go to work? So many times I've seen where the only thing that matters is, oh, the sales. Now, don't get me wrong. Sales is what drives the business, helps them stay in business, and, you know, helps pay your paycheck. I am 100% in agreement with that. But whenever I go back to right here, where people see work as a marathon rather than a sprint, me being in the automotive business as a service advisor, I've seen it and I was a victim of it, because whenever I was never a salesman, it was my first year as a service advisor. The first thing I would do was try to sell, because the first thing I had on my mind was money. I got to make money. I want to make a lot of money, which is fine and everything, but I don't really want to make people mad. Well, actually, I don't care if I make you mad. This is just my personal experience, the way I've done business at a dealership level, where people come in with a problem. I help provide a solution. And a lot of times, a lot of people, you know, they're just being sold a lot of stuff and they don't even know the person that's selling. And what do I mean by that? People want to feel appreciated. They want to feel like they're wanted. They're like, you know, as for me, like I always try to come up with a way to where me and the person can resonate. Like, oh, like I'm always honing in on key words that are being spoken by the customer. And that triggers a story that maybe I have had in the past that goes into a full-blown conversation. And just by that, I'm able to gain maybe a little bit of trust, if not a lot of trust, from this customer. So whenever it comes to trying to present something to the customer, they're more likely to buy. Now, this whole thing isn't on selling. This whole thing isn't on trying to do things the way I do them. I'm just explaining things the way I do things from my point of view, based off of what I've learned, people that have been mentors to me, and I've just learned through their success. So see work as a marathon rather than a sprint. Instead of just trying to shoot for the sale, focus on building the relationship, because people will always do business with people they know, like, and trust. If you just try to sell them right at the beginning, or even if they even feel that you're trying to take advantage of them, they're not going to buy. And I don't know what area or what job career you have, but you're always selling. And what do you mean? You might be asking, Kevin, what do you mean I'm always selling? I don't even sell. You know, you're always selling, whether you think it or not. If you're married, when you met your spouse, you had to sell yourself, which has led to being boyfriend, girlfriend. You had to sell yourself to eventually get married. What's another example? You, like, whenever you go in for an interview, you have to sell yourself. So focus on providing value, asking questions and everything, and finding something that can trigger a great conversation so people can end up start eventually learning to trust you more, if that makes sense. Now, going over to where are we at? People aren't scared to fail because they know without failure, there is no room for growth. So what do I mean by that? Again, back in school, I was a failure. I was a DNF. I was destined to fail based on what family, friends, society, everything, everybody they told me. But what you don't realize is that through every failure, there's an opportunity for growth. You get to go back and look at what you did wrong, what you can do better, and how you can win the next time. I don't understand why failure is looked down upon in today's world. When you look at Michael Jordan, he got cut from his high school basketball team, went into his room, cried. He thought that wasn't for him. And look where he ended up. Look at Oprah Winfrey. She was told she wasn't going to be fit for TV. I always go back to Albert Einstein not being able to talk till he was, you know, 6 years old. But yeah, failure is very, very big into growth. Without it, you're never going to grow. You always remain the same. So many people are okay with being the same, but at the end of the day, a lot of times they're the ones that are most miserable because they aren't willing to try new things. They aren't willing to fail. And going into a world exists where employers value, take care, and encourage growth. What do I mean by that? In my history of jobs and everything, I've always seen the employers, the bosses, the managers. I wouldn't necessarily call them leaders because they did what bosses and managers do. Basically boss you around, micromanage you in ways to do things to get the business where they want, which I completely understand, because again, a business can't survive without money you know, without accomplishing certain tasks to move the business forward. But I do know that throughout that whole process of being micromanaged, bossed around, the employers don't feel valued. They don't feel that they're being taken care of. They're not being encouraged to grow. Going back to the sprint, the marathon. If you treat it like a marathon and you encourage the growth, you're going to realize that with that growth, it may take a little bit longer to get where you want within the business, within your position, whatever your title may be. But if you're going to use the sprint mentality, you're going to burn out so quick. You're going to be stressed. You're going to be miserable. So I encourage you to use the marathon mentality and focus on growth. And I really encourage whoever's listening to really think about that, really figure out where they want to go in their business, their career, whatever it may be, and realize that you always got to figure out what's next, what's next. And in order to do that, you got to accept that you're going to fail. You're going to go through the growing pains so you can get that growth. And I see a lot of times businesses, companies, whatever you want to call it, they just focus on a certain dollar sign and that's all they want. And what you really need to focus on is what can I do today that can get me a better tomorrow? When you look at Apple, Samsung, whatever these big companies are, Jordan, Nike, Adidas, whatever it is, whatever brand you like and desire, if you really focus and pay attention, they're always looking at, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? I mean, I'm going to take Apple, for example. Whenever the Apple 10 came out, everybody flocked to it. Everybody, they were camping out. They were waiting at the door before they opened and they just ran in there and they got their phone, right? And then what happens the next year? iPhone 11, the next year, iPhone 12, iPhone 13, and so on. I can't keep up with where they're at. I think they're on iPhone 15 right now. The moral of this story is Apple is always, always, always trying to get better and better and better. They're always trying to figure out what's next because they know that in order to survive and thrive in their market, they have to be willing to grow. So the question I ask you is, you got to recognize where you are, where do you want to go, and what's holding you back from getting there? And what can you do to get there? If your employer isn't getting you where you want to go, maybe you should start getting around other people that are already where you want to be. There might be another fellow employee, business owner, or somebody that is further along than you. Maybe you could start getting around them, associating yourself with them, because there's a saying that goes, you become who you surround and associate yourself with. Start using that as a way to start growing. And I wanted to go over bosses and managers shift to leadership because that difference matters. I might feel like I'm repeating myself from the previous, what I've been reading, but there's too many bosses. There's too many managers. It seems like they're just overflowing in every business. And all they're doing is pointing fingers. They're expecting this. They're expecting that. But they're not willing to get in there and get dirty and help out. All they're doing is they know the quota they need to meet. They know that they got to hit these certain numbers. They know that they got to do this and that. But yet, when they're struggling, when the business is struggling, they don't want to get out there and help because they feel like they're entitled. A leader, in my personal opinion, my personal experience, is going to get out there. They're going to know that they got to do what it takes to get to their business, their job, their career, whatever it may be, to get it to where they want. They're going to get out there and they're going to help. It reminds me of that meme where it has like four people pulling this wagon with a person with their hand in the air. And then it says boss. And then there's a leadership pick where the boss ends up helping and becoming the leader. So you may not have the role of a boss, a manager, but you have the ability to become a leader. And what do I mean by that? I have never in my life had a job where I've been a boss or manager, but I have taken upon myself to become that leader in everything I do, even if it's not to my advantage. When I get to work, whatever it is, if it's not my customer, if it is not my job to do whatever it is, there's been jobs where I wasn't hired to be a janitor. I wasn't hired to do certain things, but sometimes tasks come along that I feel need to be taken care of, and I take it upon myself to do it. Why? Because I am taking that leadership role and doing it because I'm not expecting anybody else to do it if they're not going to do it, if that makes sense. So I want to conclude with everything that I've said. I really hope that it sinks in. I really hope you've learned something. I know I shared some stories, some struggles. I've shared the journey, you know, and as far as like the solution, the thing is if you can't get people to lead, you are going to have to lead by example and stop focusing on trying to change everybody. Just focus on changing yourself, setting the example, focus on changing at least one person, and hopefully over time, the domino effect will start to take over and your hard work will take over. But as far as leadership, I'm real big into leadership. I love leadership because it makes me feel good. Helping people makes me happy because I know that I'm meant for more in life than just taking care of myself. I love taking care of others, helping, serving. One of my core values is service. Serve without expecting anything in return, because I really feel that can benefit you in the long run. So, but yeah, I really hope you got value out of this podcast. I really hope that you've learned something. I hope that if you could just take one thing out of this and apply it to your life, that would mean the world to me. For this podcast, it may not have helped you one single bit, but if I could change one person with this podcast, that's all that matters. So until next time, take care, guys. I love you all.